5th chapter of Hilchos Gzeila Vaveda, dealing with stolen or lost objects. This chapter contains 18 halachas and deals with purchasing things from a robber or a suspected robber, as well as having benefit from stolen goods and the laws of people who are suspected thieves, such as tax collectors and kings and other such sordid individuals. Perek Hamishi, the 5th chapter, Halacha Aleph. Aser liknei dover hagozel min hagazlan. We are forbidden from buying something stolen from a thief. And as we've explained many times, the difference between gzela and geneva. Geneva is in the case where someone steals the object without the owner being aware that the theft is taking place. Whereas gzela is done in the open, that the victim is aware that he is being robbed. And just as it is forbidden to buy something from a ganav, it is forbidden to buy something from a gazlan. And furthermore, for Asrulasade al Shinuye, Kadesh Yiknehu, it is forbidden to assist the thief in changing the form of the object in order that he should acquire it. That the law is, as we mentioned at the beginning of these halachas in Perek Aleph, that by changing the form of the stolen object, the thief acquires possession of the object. And although he nevertheless is required to return the value, the worth of the stolen object, nevertheless the object itself he is not required to return since he has changed its form. Since helping the thief change the form of the object assists the thief in his acquisition of the object, one is also forbidden from helping him. Shekola eiseh dvarim elu kiyetzeh bahem, because anyone that does these things, meaning to buy it from the thief or to help him change it, or anything similar, mechazik yedei eivrei avera, he is helping out those people who do transgressions. Va'ever al v'lifne ever l'sitin michshel. He is transgressing on the mitzvah in Vayikra Yutes Yudalit, not to place a stumbling block before the blind, which means that one should not assist someone in doing a sin. And since, as the Gemara says, that a thief is compared to a mouse, that a mouse steals food, and then he hides it in a hole. And the Gemara asks, who is the thief? People have an expression, lav akbar ganav elu chura ganav, that the mouse is not the thief, the hole is the thief. This is a saying of a common saying the people had at the times of the Gemara, which means that if not for the hole, the mouse would not be taking anything. He'd have no place to put it. And so too, if the thief did not have someone to sell his goods to, he wouldn't steal in the first place. So that's why the person who buys from the thief bears responsibility for the theft as well. Halacha base. Asur la'anes b'davar ha'gozel. One is forbidden from having any benefit whatsoever from the stolen object. Vafil la'achar yush. Even though the owners, the original owners, have already given up hope of having the object returned. As we explained in the beginning of Perek Beis, again, that just as in the law of Shinoi, so too the law of Yiyush, that a Shinoi, a change in the object, puts it in the possession of the thief, regardless of whether the owners had Yiyush or not. And conversely, the Yiyush doesn't affect the status of the object as long as it has not changed. So since the original object is still in existence, it still belongs to the original owner, and the thief is required to return this object itself, not only the value of the object. And therefore, since it is still within the possession of the original owner, one is not allowed to have any benefit. This is only when you know for certain that this object is the same one that was stolen. Ketzat, for example, Yoda Bavade Shabahim Zugzula. If one knew for sure that this particular animal was a stolen animal, if he was only in doubt, then he's allowed to have benefit from it. But if he knows for sure that this one was stolen, he is forbidden from riding upon it or plowing with it, because in doing so he is having benefit from this animal. Halacha Gimel. Gozel bayis isodem, if someone steals a house or a field, and the law is that a house or a field does not change possession. When do we say that yush and shinu rishus? chain that once it comes into the hand of the gazlan and he changes its form or does another change to change to acquire possession of the object, that is only when it's a movable object. But a house or a field always remains in the possession of the original owner. Let's say he stole the house or the field and is using it without permission of the owner. Also, we are forbidden from having any benefit whatsoever from this house or field. In the case of a field, for example, to pass through it, to take a shortcut. To enter in at the time of the sun, to protect ourselves from the sun, or in the rainy season, to protect ourselves from the rain, we are forbidden from going in the house. In the previous halacha, we spoke about definite financial benefit we were having from the stolen object. Here, we are speaking about a more intangible benefit, and even that is forbidden. Vim dor b'seicha, if the thief or someone else decided to live inside this house, chayiv lali schar labaylim, he is required to pay rent to the original owner. In other words, in addition to paying back and giving back the house that he stole, he is also required to pay rent for the whole time he is using it. Kedin hador b'chotzer chaveirei shalei midayte, as is the law with someone who lives in the courtyard of his neighbor without his knowledge, that he is required also to pay rent if this is a piece of property which is usually rented. Gozel de kolim, let's say he stole pieces of wood from a palm tree, va'asa mehen gesher, and he made them into a bridge. Asur la'aver olav, one is forbidden from walking on it. And even though in this case one has changed the form, so to speak, he has changed the wood into a bridge, but as we brought similar examples in Perek Beis, that this is not called a shinoi because it's something which is chesel lebriyase. One is capable of taking apart the bridge and making a piece of wood, pieces of wood again. Therefore, it is not a true change. Therefore, it is still in the possession of the original owner, and one is forbidden from having benefit. The king kol kayetzi bazeh, so too any similar case. Halacha dalid. Now, after we know that we are forbidden from having any benefit from something which is stolen in the hands of the gazlan, Misha avar v'achol hagzela achar yush, someone that transgressed apparently this prohibition and got benefit by eating the stolen object, let's say it was stolen food. Let's say Reuven was the gazlan, and Shimon ate some of the food which was stolen by Reuven. V'ochal agzela achar yush, he ate this food after the original owners had given up hope of its return. Patur milashalim, the one that ate it, Shimon, is exempt from repaying the original owner of the food, because he already gave up hope on it, and he's not the one that stole it. The thief himself is responsible to pay back, as we mentioned previously, that if there's only yush, it still had remained in the property, in the possession of the original owner, and he has financial, if it's not any longer in existence, he has financial responsibility, at least to return it. Let's say it was eaten before they even gave up hope, which means that it's still fully in the possession of the original owner, technically. If the original owners want to collect from the one that ate the food, they are allowed to, because it's still within their possession. And as the Gemara explains, it's as if Shimon, in this case, had stolen the food directly from the original owner. If they want, gave him in a gazlan, they can collect the money from the thief. Since it was still in their possession, the thief took it from the original owner. They can collect from the thief, and they can collect even from the one that ate it when it was in the possession of the thief. That since there was no yiyush, they didn't give up hope, it's as if it was stolen directly from them. To understand the next few halachas, we must have some understanding of the law of shibud in the case of collecting a loan. If someone refuses to pay back a loan, the law is that since the lender was dependent on his land in order to collect, we say that he can collect from karka, from things which are fixed, not movable. But metaltalin, things which are movable objects, he never imagined anyway that he would be able to catch them in the hands of the borrower, and therefore they were not used as support for this loan, and he cannot collect. That is the Torah law. However, the Ga'anim established that a lender can collect his loan even from movable objects. The law by a stolen object, the money which is owned by the thief to the victim, is equivalent in law to that of a debt. Therefore, the same law of a debt applies here to the goslin. Halacha hei. Hagezel v'mei is someone that stole, and then he died. And now his children have inherited everything, including the stolen objects. Bein shehechil es hagzeil labanim achi yiyush, regardless of whether he fed them to his children after the original owners gave up hope. In other words, he got benefit from them and they're no longer there. Bein shaleyachilam ela machra avda, and perhaps he didn't eat them or feed them to his children, but rather he sold it or it was lost. In any case, it is no longer in existence, and he has financial responsibility to pay back the value of the object. He is no longer alive. Do his children have to pay back? So it depends, what did he leave? If he left as part of his inheritance land, then the children are required to pay back, because as we mentioned, it's just like a loan. And in the case of a loan, one can demand payment from land. However, should he only have left movable objects, then the children are exempt from repayment. Because the law is the value of the stolen object is like a debt on the thief. And the law is that movable objects are not subjugated to the lender, to the one who is owed the money, as we mentioned in the introduction to this halacha. Therefore, should there be only movable objects, those children are exempt. However, an halacha vav, kvar tiknu ha-ga'enim, has already been established by the ga'enim, ligbeis bal chayv mina metaltelin, to collect a loan even from movable objects. That since many people don't have land, it already became a custom that people would collect loans even from, would depend on even movable objects to recover the cost of their loans. Even if there was no document, but it was only a verbal agreement. And since in this case it's like a verbal agreement and a debt based on a verbal agreement, one can collect from the movable objects as well. Lafichach, therefore, chayavin l'shalim, the children must repay, bein ochle, bein le'ochle, whether they ate up, consumed the stolen object or not. Bein nisyashu, bein lo nisyashu. Whether they had given up hope or not, whether the original owner had given up hope or not. And bein mina karka, bein mina metaltelin sheniach. Regardless of whether he only left land or from movable objects which were inherited by the children. In the fifth chapter of the Laws of Gneva, the Rambam described the law of Takanas Hashuk. What would be if Reuven had an object stolen by Shimon? And Shimon wanted to pawn the object, so he sold it to Levi. Later on, Reuven spots his object of Levi there in the marketplace, and he says, it's mine, it's stolen. In this case, if Levi must give back the object to Reuven and not get any compensation, this would destroy all business activities, because people would be afraid to buy from one another for the suspicion that perhaps someone in the past stole it, and they will end up losing a great deal of money. Therefore, our sages established in such a case that although Levi will give the object back to Reuven, Reuven must give him the amount that he paid for it. And then Reuven must go to a court case with Shimon to recover the cost of the money he gave back to Levi. However, there is some cases we apply this and some cases not. Halacha Zayin. Din alakeach metaltelin min hagazlon. The law regarding someone who buys movable objects from a thief, to lakeach min haganav, is identical basically with the law of someone who stole from a ganav, a secret thief, as we explained in those halachas. Im gazlon mafursum hu, if he is a well-known thief, everyone knows he's a thief. In this case, our sages did not enact this decree to ensure business transactions should flow smoothly, because people should know not to buy from a well-known thief. But if he is not well-known, they made their decree, their procedure, in order to ensure the smoothness of business transactions, and therefore the one who originally owned the object must give the value of the worth to the buyer, then he takes back the stolen object, and since he is now missing money, he has back his stolen object, but now there's money that he shouldn't have had to pay, that he had to pay to Levi. So therefore, v'chezer v'teveh ha-gazlon b'dmeh ha-gzeila. He goes and to take the money back from the thief, the value which he had to pay to Levi. Vim kvarnis Yashua Bailim, this is all before Yiyush. But if there was already Yiyush, the owners gave up hope of getting it back. The Lekeach, the third one, Levi, has acquired the object itself, and he is not required to return it. Although he has to, we have a financial problem here, the object itself no longer belongs to Reuven. Since there has been Yiyush, he has given up hope, and there Shini Rishus, it has gone out of the possession of the thief, Shimon, into Levi's hands. Levi has now acquired the object itself, and he is not required to return it. Incidentally, in Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe brings Psak Halacha from the Ramah that nevertheless, the custom is to return, and he adds the words La'achziv min hadin, one is required to return the object even after there is Yiyush and after Shini Rishus. However, as we said in Takanas Hashuk, the original owner must give the money which was spent to the buyer, and then recover the lost money from the thief. Halacha ches, also lanus min hagazlan. One is forbidden from having any benefit whatsoever from a thief. However, this is when we are certain that everything he has is stolen. As we mentioned, that one is forbidden from having hana, benefit from stolen things. However, v'im hayu miyat shalei, if at least a minority, some of what he owns, of what he has, belongs to him legally, afal pisha reiv ma'mayne gozel, even though the majority of things he has are stolen, mutter lanis mimenu, achi yede bevade shedover ze gozel biyode. One is allowed to have benefit from his objects until he knows for sure that this particular object was stolen. And the halacha is that this applies also to buying it from the gazlan. If some of it is legal, we can always say that this that I have bought is part of the legally owned objects. And therefore one is allowed to do so. And the same thing applies to a geneva. Although the Rambam implied differently in the sixth chapter of Hilchas Geneva, nevertheless, as explained by the Magid Mishnah and brought in Psak Halacha, the same thing applies for a gazlan and a ganav, that both of them, as long as they have a minority of their possessions, and we do not know for sure that this object is stolen, in these cases one is allowed to buy the object or to get benefit from it. It is expressed a little bit differently in the Psak Halacha of the Alter Rebbe that if it's a well-known thief, then one is forbidden from buying the object unless one is sure that he has something of the same type which is owned by himself. One must know this for certain. And in that case, even if there is a minority, one is then allowed to buy the object from this, even from this famous thief. From here to the end of the perek, the Rambam discusses which people are known as thieves and which people not. Halacha tes, bnei adam shechaskosan gazlonim, people who are assumed, who are well known to be thieves, robbers, v'cheskas kol mamainan min hagezel, and the presumption, the proven presumption is that all of their money is gained from theft. Because their work involves theft. For example, tax collectors and robbers, highway robbers, as the Rambam will be explaining over the next few halachas, why it is that tax collectors are assumed to be thieves and under what conditions they are assumed to be thieves. In any case, such people who gain their money through theft, one is forbidden from having any benefit from them, because the presumption is that such a work involves theft, and their money therefore comes from theft, and as we mentioned, one cannot get any benefit if one knows that the money is stolen money or the possessions are stolen. Incidentally, the Alter Rebbe adds in Shulchan Aruch, this applies when we know they have no other source of income. Because if they do have another source of income, then they at least have some of their possessions which are kosher. And as long as we mentioned the previous halacha, one could have benefit. What is considered benefit? Even getting change from them is considered benefit. One cannot even get change from dinarim, coins, from the box that they hold money. Even though, what kind of benefit is this? You have, for example, a dollar and you want to get four quarters, you're not getting any benefit, you're just trading one for another. But in such a case, our sages were very, very strict and said, even this tiny bit of benefit you're getting is also prohibited. Shahakol becheskes gzeila, because everything is in a presumption of being stolen. Halacha Yud. Not lumechsin ksusay. Let's say the tax collectors came and stole his coat. They took his coat as tax, and they were not allowed to do so, as we will see from the following halachas. Bechziru le ksusa cheres. Later on, they had mercy on him, and they gave him another coat. Who did this coat belong to? Obviously, the gazlan and the tax collectors. They gave him somebody else's coat that they stole from someone else. Therefore, the presumption is it's stolen material. And or another case, not luchamere, bechzir lechameracher. They stole his donkey and then gave him back later on another donkey. Is he allowed to keep the donkey or not? Hare elu shalei. These belong to him. The coat belongs to him, or the donkey belongs to him. Why? Bipnei shezuke mechirehi. This is not like getting benefit. This is like a sale. It's as if he has bought this coat, so to speak. Let's assume that the tax collector is a thief. What happens if you buy something from a thief? If you buy something from a thief, we learned previously in this perek, and the owners have had yiush, they've given up hope. With yiush and shinui reshus, you have acquired this object. So too in this case, it's as if he bought it from the tax collectors. What did he give the tax collector to buy this coat? He gave his coat, because the tax collector took his coat. In exchange, he got the other coat. And the presumption is that when the tax collector takes your coat, that you're not going to get it back. And the final point is that he does not know for certain that this is a stolen coat or a stolen donkey. But if the person is a chassid going beyond the limit of the law, and he is very strict on himself, in such a case, even though he is not required, he should return it to the previous owners, because this is also called a kind of benefit. But now the Rambam goes into more detail about what exactly is considered a tax collector was a thief. Yud Aleph. Bamed varim amurim. Shaham meiches kelistim. When is it a presumption that the tax collector has the law of a thief and all the money he has gained and his possessions are stolen? Bizman sham meiches goy. One possibility is that the tax collector is a goy. A second, oy meiches ha'emin me'elof. Even if it's a Jewish tax collector, but he appointed himself. He wasn't appointed by the king. And in general, in these halachas, when we mean a king, it's either a Jewish or non-Jewish king. He did not get permission. He's also assumed to be a thief. Oy meiches ha'emin machmas ha'melech. But even if he is a tax collector appointed by the king, vein leiktsava, and he has no set schedule about how to collect his taxes. El lekeach mash. But he takes whatever he wants and he leaves whatever he wants. In other words, this tax collector has his own free choice to collect as much as he wants. In these cases, it is assumed that the person would, under these conditions, will obviously be a thief. He will be taking more than he is allowed to take. Therefore, in these cases, they're considered gazlonim. But the tax that the king has determined, and has commanded that you have to give a third or a fourth or another set amount of one's income for taxes. And the king appointed a Jewish tax collector to collect this and give it to the king. And we know that this person is trustworthy, and he will not add on anything to this which the king has decreed. In such a case, he is not assumed to be a thief. Because the law of the king is a valid law. As the Gemara says, Dina de Malchusa Dina, that when the kingdom, the government, makes a law, this is a valid law. Therefore, the king can willingly inflict this tax, and the Jew can lawfully collect it from the Jewish people. Therefore, there is no theft involved as long as he is trustworthy. And furthermore, Elishahu Eiver HaMavriach Mimechazeh, the one who is a Mavriach Minamechaz, one who is running away and avoiding taxes, he is Eiver. He is transgressed if he is Mavriach, if he runs away from not paying this tax. Because he is stealing the portion which belongs to the king. Bein Shehoya Melech Goy, Bein Shehoya Melech Yisrael, regardless of whether it's a non-Jewish king or a Jewish king. Tax evasion is called theft, as has been said many times, that theft is prohibited regardless from a Jew or a non-Jew, and therefore not only is the tax collector not stealing, one that avoids paying the taxes is stealing. This is clearly the opinion of the Rambam. Incidentally, in the Alter Rebbe's Hilchos Gzeila Gneiva, in Sif Tezvav, the opinion of the Rambam is brought, but there is an entire section which was omitted by the censor, which can be found in the book of Mara Makemis, Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. It is the opinion of the Ran that if the tax is going to the non-Jewish king, and the Jewish tax collector is not getting any benefit according to how much tax he collects, one is allowed to avoid paying tax to the king. The Alter Rebbe concludes, V'yirashama that a Yerushalayim should be machmer like the first opinion, like the opinion of the Rambam. For more information about the particulars, one should certainly contact the Rav. Now some other examples of allowed sort of taxes. Halacha Yud Beis. V'kein melech shehisim mas al bnei ha'ir. And so to a king who put a tax on all the members of a certain city. In other words, the city as a whole must pay a certain amount of tax. Oy al kol ish v'ish, dover kotzuv mishana l'shana, or an annual tax established for every individual a certain amount, a set amount. Oy al kol sode v'sode dover kotzuv, or a certain amount of tax for every field. Or furthermore, another decree. Or he makes a fine. He decrees that anyone who is caught cheating on taxes will lose all of his possessions to the king. He will have to give all of his possessions away to the king. He will see that this is another legal sort of maneuver for a king to do. Oy, furthermore, the king, in order to make his tax collectors not have to chase down the owners of the field, he makes the following established law. Kol mi sheyimsa besode b'shasa gaiden, anyone that's there in the field at the time of collecting the crops, hu yitena mashallah, he is responsible to give the tax. Bein shehoyahu balasode, bein sheina balasode, regardless of whether it's the owner of the field or not, because otherwise, very simply put, the owner would never find himself, would never be found in the field. The tax collectors would never be able to find him. So the king makes a law. Certainly everybody's going to be there at the time the grain needs to be collected. He'll send his tax collectors there and make it that anyone that's there, who's ever there, is responsible to pay. If he's not the owner, he'll have to go and get the money back from the owner later. And so too, any similar law of the king is also not considered theft, and a tax collector who collects under such conditions is not considered to be a thief. A Jew that collects such taxes, or in the other case that he took away all the possessions according to the decree of the king, is not a thief and he is kosher. This is only, of course, if the Jew does not add on or change whatsoever from the law of the king, and he does not take anything for himself. And Halacha Yud Gimel, and so to a king who became angry with one of his servants, one of the members of his land. And as the Magid Mishnah explains, that this is the law which has been legislated in this land, and in general it seems to be a law of all kings, that when the king becomes angered with one of his servants, that he is allowed to, and he took the field or the courtyard. And this is something apparently which has been legislated in the kingdoms at the times of the Gemara that they were allowed to do such a thing. This was within a king's prerogative. In such a case also, ain't a gezel. This is not considered theft. Umutar li'anasba, one is permitted to get benefit from this field. After the king has taken it away from the one he was angry with. The one that buys it from the king, harehi shalei, it belongs to the buyer. Ve'ena baile maitzi an aisa miyadei, and the original owners cannot take it away. So we said earlier in this pedek that if in the case of land, it does not go out of the hands of the original owner, and therefore it will return to his possession. However, in this case, dina de malchusa dina, the law of the land prevails, and therefore the money belongs. The field was completely transferred over to the king, and the person that bought it from the king, it no longer has a connection with the previous owner. Shazad din ha-malachim kulam. This is the law of all kings. Likach kol mamon shamsheyem keshekayusin aleyem. To take away all of the possessions of their servants when they get angry. This is the law. And the king already took away their ownership, their connection with this land, and has made this courtyard or this field hefker as if it's ownerless. And this is again within the capability of a king. Anyone that bought it from the king has merited in this field. In other words, he has now owns it for himself. However, this is only when the king is following the laws of the land. But a king who has taken the courtyard or field of one of his subjects in a violent way, in a criminal way, not according to the laws of the land, the king is considered a thief. And the one that buys it from the king will have to give it up back to the original owner, since it was taken away from him illegally, just like any other case of theft. The land remains in the possession of the original owner, and he is required to return it. As the Gemara says that although din de malchusa dina, the law of the kingdom is law, gazlanusa de malchusa lav dina, the theft of the kingdom is also invalid, and therefore it's like any regular case of theft. Halacha yud dalit. Klala shel davar, the general rule is kol din sheyachkek eisei hamelech lakeil, any law that the king enacts for all of the inhabitants equally, v'lo yiyeh la'adam echad bifnei atzmei, and it's not just that one person has been singled out, if there is fair treatment, ein a gezel, it is not considered theft. And on the other hand, and any king that takes away from one particular person only, not according to the law, which is well known to apply to everyone, but he violently and illegally took it away from this individual, this is considered to have been stolen. And understand the next part of this halach, we must understand the custom was in the kings of those times. Well, let's say someone did not pay their taxes. How did the king recover the unpaid tax? As is the case today, if someone has land and does not pay their taxes, the government takes the land, sells it, and uses this to pay back the taxes. However, this was only allowed if the person's tax, which was not paid, was property tax which he had to pay for the land. But individual personal income tax, if a person didn't pay him, he was not allowed to collect the money from the person's land. Lefichach, therefore the law is gabai hamelech v'sheitrav, the ones that are in charge of collecting money for the king and his officers, shemeichrim hasodos b'matz masakotsu v'alasodis, who are selling the fields in order to recover the tax which was estimated for the fields. There's property tax that they had to be paid on the fields, and in order to recover it, they are selling the fields. In such a case, memkar and memkar, their sale is a legal sale, and one is allowed to buy it from them. Avo mashal kol ish ve'ish, but individual property tax or a head tax, eina geva elimin ha'adam atzmei, you can collect it only from the person himself, not from his land. This was the normal way of doing it in these countries. V'machre asade b'masha al harosh, and if one sold a field in a payment for a tax which is owed, in an individual's tax, harizeh eina memkar, In that case, it is not a valid sale, and it remains with the field remains within the ownership of the original owner. Unless this happened to be the particular law which this king enacted. Although normally this was not the law, but the Rambam holds if the king enacted such a law, then the king has the power to do so. And therefore, as it is today in civil law, the king, so to speak, or the government has enacted such a law that they can collect even personal tax from land. However, the Magid Mishnah brings the Ramban, who holds that this is not, that the king has no right to do this. That if he deviates from the practice of all kings, and it was the practice of all kings not to collect personal tax from property, the king has no permission to do so, and even if he annexes a law, the law is invalid. It is well known, by the way, the story of the Rogachover, the ones the tax collectors came and said he owed a certain amount of tax, and he looked it over and said, well, some of your tax is legal and some of it's not, so you must have made a mistake, because I only owe this much, because the rest of it you're not allowed to do. Dina de Malchusa Dina. However, Gazlanusa de Malchusa lav Dina. And soon, a few days later, came a message that a mistake had been made in the Russian government, and actually he didn't owe that much tax, they made a mistake, and they came up only with the amount which he was required to pay.
Now we continue with another law of what is called a valid din for a melech to enact. Halacha tesvav. Melech shahayu dinov, a king who had enacted the following laws. Shekol mi shelo yiten hamas sha'al hasode, anyone who didn't give the required tax for his field, ti hasode l'nesen hamas, the field will belong to the one who pays the back taxes. In other words, not that he will own the field, but he will be able to eat any fruit produced by the field, if he pays the back taxes. Ubarach bal hasode mipnei hamas, the owner of the field ran away in order to avoid paying the tax. Ubozeh, v'nosan mashallah l'melech, v'ochel peyraseh, and along came someone else, gave the back taxes to the king, and then ate the fruits from the field. Is he called a thief? So the Rambam says, ein ze gezel. This is not called theft. But he is allowed to eat the fruit and continue to pay the taxes until the owner returns. As we explained in the last halacha, any din, the king enacts, any law is accepted in Jewish law, as long as it is not contradicting Jewish law, of course. This is considered a valid law, and therefore the king was allowed to do such an act, and therefore the one that paid the taxes does have a right to eat the fruits of the field. Halacha tezayin, v'kein melech shegozar, and so to a king who decreed, shekol mi sheiten mas hakotzuv al ha'ish, anyone that gives the tax which is figured out for each individual. Let's say that there was a head tax in this community, that every individual had to pay a certain amount. And Reuven paid the tax for Shimon. Shimon did not have the money to pay the tax. So Reuven pays for Shimon. And the king decrees that anyone that pays the tax for someone else, yishtabit bozeh shalei nosan, is allowed to use as an eved, as a slave, the one who did not give the money. So Shimon will become a servant to Reuben. This is the law the king enacted. And along came a Jew and gave tax for another Jew who was poor and couldn't afford it. The poor person must serve the one who paid the tax for him even more than usual. In other words, go beyond his what he would normally be accustomed to work. Because the law of the king is valid. But he cannot utilize him literally as a slave. Apparently, meaning here an Eved Knani, the difference between a Jewish slave and a non-Jewish slave, that a non-Jewish slave one can use for any act, whereas a Jewish slave cannot be given demeaning sorts of activities, such as putting on his shoes or taking off his shoes or carrying his clothing to the bathhouse and so on and so forth. So although the king has decreed that this person must serve the other, nevertheless he cannot be given these demeaning forms of work. Halacha Yud Zayin. Melech shakaras ilana shel balabatim, a king cut down trees which belonged to people, va'asa mehen gesher, and he made them into a bridge. Now we said, any case where there is theft, we are not allowed to have any benefit from the stolen objects. And even if they have changed, if they have changed form, but it is a shinoi chayzer lebriyase, it will change back to its original form. One is forbidden again from having any benefit. As we mentioned in Halacha Gimel, someone cut branches of the kolim, of palm trees, and made a bridge. One is forbidden from going upon it. What happens when the king does such an act? One is allowed to pass over the bridge. Why? Because this is an act of the king, that he evidently has the right to do this in his land in order to make the land safe and so on. And so too, if he broke houses down and use the materials in order to make a road or in order to make a wall, one is allowed again to have benefit from this wall or from this road. Why? Because again, so too any similar cases, shadin hamelech din, the law of the king is valid, and therefore since he allows such actions, they are valid actions in the eyes of the Torah. It is not considered to be theft, and one is allowed to have benefit. However, the king must be a valid king. The final halacha yitches. Bamed dvarim amurim, when do all of these laws apply? That the law of the king is followed and binding in the land. Bamelech shemadbeya yetzei ba'esen haratzis. That his currency is recognized in those particular lands. If the currency of this king is negotiable currency in these lands, it is recognized. This shows that the people, the inhabitants of this land, are relying on this king. And they have accepted that he is their master, and they are servants to him. And this is this can be tested to see whether his currency is accepted there. Avalim ein matbeya yaitza, but if his currency is not acceptable there, harehu kegazlan balzreya, then in that case, since they don't accept him as a king, his laws are not binding, and he is considered like a forcible a robber by force. Ukamecha buras listim hamizuyonim, and like armed highway robbers, she'ein dinei hendin, their law, their determinations that they make are not din, they do not have binding value. And so to this king, together with all of his servants, kegazlin l'chol davar, they are considered to be thieves as far as everything is concerned. And should such a king make such an enactment in a land which is not under his control, he is considered to be a thief, and one is again forbidden from having benefit from any of these objects which he stole.